Welcome to the Trade Securely Podcast.
Finding new customers in new markets can open up great business opportunities, but entering new foreign markets brings in new challenges and a wealth of unknowns. I'm Janet Eastman, and in this Trade Securely podcast, we're going to discuss how businesses can use receivables insurance to gain insight on the creditworthiness of their potential customers and find a policy that suits their trading needs and their budget for exporting. I'm pleased to have Mark Hall, Associate Broker and Credit Insurance Specialist of Dan Lowry Insurance, as my guest. He's also a member of the Receivables Insurance Association of Canada. He's been helping Canadian businesses trade securely for over 20 years, and he has a wealth of knowledge to share. So, Mark, it's really nice to speak to you again. Thanks for joining us.
It's great to be on with you, Janet.
You know, you've had 20 years in this industry, and I know that in the past, I believe you were on the side of the purchaser of credit insurance, so you have a broad depth of experience. Let's just gain a little bit of perspective as far as exporting goes. How many of your clients are doing business outside of Canada?
I took a look at my client list, and approximately 70% of my clients export either just across the border to the U.S. or around the world. And that's probably, you know, it probably totals up to several hundred million dollars worth of sales.
Wow. Wow. So what impact has moving into exports had on your clients? Like that's a big dollar figure. So, you know, how has their businesses grown with that move into exporting?
Well, exports are an important part of Canada's economic growth. So it provides more employment, more research and development opportunities, and expertise that is marketable all over the world. So it's had some great positive effects for most of my clients.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the biggest misconceptions about doing business outside of Canada? Because I'm sure you've run into Canadian businesses that have a product that they want, like that would be valuable outside of the country, but they're just, you know, fearful, or they just don't want to make that jump. So what are those biggest misconceptions?
For a lot of people, they see the risk of selling outside of Canada as too high, and the investment required as too costly. But, you know, in most cases, they find that they really, you know, I find that the risk has really not been identified properly, and that it could be a lot less than what they had expected.
Mm-hmm. So when you say the risk hasn't been identified properly, and just in general terms, how do most people look at it? And then how do you actually frame it differently for them?
Well, you know, the risks are many when you're selling out of country. You know, whether you have a product that can be consumed in other parts of the world, you know, and what would prevent you from supplying that demand are big issues. And whether it's regulatory in other countries, you know, whether there are legal requirements that you can or cannot meet, and it's whether or not you need a corporate presence out there. That's part of it. And then accounts receivable insurance is a methodology to reduce some of the risk in that whole package by actually identifying good customers to sell to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the questions business leaders should ask to get started on the exporting side of their business? So if they've decided, you know, let's look at this, what are those questions that they should typically ask themselves?
Well, the questions to be asked are whether or not their product can be shipped to other parts of the world without changing it to meet the needs of that particular country. And if so, what is the cost? You know, and then there are other questions with respect to how you can get your product to that country, whether it's by boat or air or however, and who do you employ as partners to get it there? And then the next question is, you know, whether you actually need to have an office there and who's going to be there if you do.
Mm-hmm. And these are costly questions, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah, like setting up an office in another country, that's a costly proposition. So
absolutely.
Yeah. And like, just briefly, can you touch on some of the partners that you might think about? Like you said, shipping partners, et cetera, but I'm sure there's a load of others.
Well, you need to have an accounting partner that is knowledgeable in the country that you are potentially shipping to. You need to have lawyers that are partners with you that can help identify what the issues are in that country legally. And, you know, others like myself as a credit insurance specialist, you know, we bring knowledge of what's required in that country from a collections standpoint of invoices, what requirements on invoices are necessary to get something paid. Those are the types of partners that are important to the whole challenge of getting set up in another country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there are challenges and there are risks. Let's talk a little bit about some of the risks. One of the risks is not getting paid. There are things like political risk and things like that. But what other risks are people mostly concerned about?
Well, I think one thing is actually knowing who your client, potential client is in a country. And distance to that country is a big factor in collecting data. And chances are an individual company won't be able to accumulate much in the way of credit data on a potential client. So that can be an issue where credit insurance steps in and has a database of information in most countries on companies, and you can gather that information and make good credit decisions for people that are halfway across the world.
Mm-hmm. So let's frame this a little bit even more clearly. So let's say I'm a business and I decide I'm going to export. My product's good to get out there and export. And my biggest concern is, you know, the company over wherever that wants to purchase my product, I really don't know anything about them. So I contact a credit insurance or a receivables insurance provider. What kind of information can they access to tell me about that potential customer?
Well, most insurers won't disclose information that they have received confidentially, as it's obviously confidential. But the underwriters can tell you whether or not a company is good for a certain insured credit limit. And from that, you can read between the lines as to whether or not they would be a good customer to ship to or not. In some cases, an insurer may not have information on a company because it's either too new or they won't disclose certain amounts of information. And if that's the case, you know, perhaps you want to change the way you are intending to do business with that customer and move it instead of giving terms to requiring, you know, progress payments or cash in advance, that sort of thing. So it really, you know, the insurance, the accounts receivable insurer provides you with a methodology to approach a certain customer.
So Mark, can you actually share some stories about the challenges or opportunities some of your clients have had doing business beyond our borders?
Well, if I look at some of the claims that have happened over the years, I think the one that sticks out as being most interesting lately is the fact that I have a client who ships all over the world, and they had a client in South America who their system was hacked, and a large payment was redirected from going to my client to another bank account, which was then emptied and closed before anybody knew what was happening.
You're kidding.
And because it was a large amount of money, it nearly bankrupted the company, and my client couldn't get paid. So they had to file a claim for that, which the insurer paid out because it was a financial issue ultimately that caused them not able to be not be able to pay be paid. And now my client makes it a point to ask that all of their clients, you know, do they have cyber insurance, mm-hmm. which, you know, would help them in a situation like this recover their money and actually prevent it from happening in the future. And these are some of the, you know, some of the issues that you get when you ship around the world is, you know, the fact that what may be appropriate in Canada may not be happening in the rest of the world or parts of the other world as far as what protection is in place.
Mm-hmm. And cyber insurance and the concerns about cyber hacking and things like that, that is becoming more and more prevalent, and people really need to start paying attention to that. I had no idea something like that could happen. That's crazy.
Well, you never know until you actually hear about it or experience mm-hmm. it. And believe me, my client doesn't ever want to experience that again.
Yeah. Wow. It's a crazy world out there. Okay. So what's going on with the insurer once a policy is set up? So you decide you're going to export, you get your policy in place. This is never a sign and done. The broker is always there to help. What's the process? What happens? And what can that value be potentially for the client on the other end when they have that policy and that insurer and that broker behind them?
Right. Well, once a policy is set up, and that's after you've determined, you know, which one of the insurers you're going to go with, customers are added for coverage onto the policy, and it's continually evaluated by the insurers all of the time, so continually. And then when they start to see information that is negative, they ask all of their policyholders who have that customer on their policies to report in on what they are seeing and hearing, you know, whether or not payment history is getting longer, whether they're hearing rumors, you know, about decreased sales, things of that nature. And it may come to the point where the insurer decides that the risk is getting too high, and they may start to reduce the exposure that they have on that customer. So depending on if the policy is made and depending on whether the policy allows for a claim on this customer, you'll get a percentage of what is owed, usually up to 90% of what is owed. But what they would rather have you see is that if you can get advance notice of a decline in the financial stability of that customer, that you can try and get 100% of your money out yourself and move on. So there's value that the insurer provides by giving you advanced warning of a potential problem, and you can do what you can to get all of your money out before you're faced with a deductible on your policy or you have to make a claim.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the spread of risk, because I think people are going to say, okay, I want to do business in this one country with this one client. I'm going to test the waters and, you know, see if it works for me, and then maybe I'll decide to expand. But just explain the sort of situation with the spread of risk so you get the best premium or value on your policy.
Well, every insurer would like to get a portfolio of accounts to insure on each policy. They really don't like to have just a one customer policy, basically, unless it's a very large one and it's important and they're of investment grade or better.
Okay.
So, you know, really the more clients that you have insured on the policy, the wider the spread of risk, and hopefully the less, you know, claims that come their way on this potential portfolio.
Okay. So given that the information, let's talk a little bit about the views and objectives that you've received when discussing credit insurance with business leaders and owners. You know, what are they looking for?
Well, some of the, they're looking for protection against losses. They don't want to pay too much in the way of premium, and they don't want the insurer to interfere with their ongoing business decisions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, in a nutshell, that's what it is. Each company has their own level of risk that they're willing to take on. The question is what that amount really is. And that's what somebody like myself has to sit down and interview these companies and discuss in detail what kind of risk they really want to take. Mm-hmm. Some of the other objections that they come up with, though, are, you know, that they know their customers too well. And if there was ever a problem, they would be the first to get paid. And that is, you know, unless you're sitting in their management meetings and reviewing their financial statements regularly, you know, you never really know what's going on at your customer. Mm-hmm. You know, they could be the greatest people, but when it comes to money, you're the last person on their list. Mm-hmm. One of the other, you know, objections to buying it is that it's too expensive. But generally speaking, the cost of credit insurance is less than what they're accruing for bad debts anyhow. And it may improve their financing at their bank, and it may reduce some of their costs or some of the guarantees that the shareholders put up. And it, you know, essentially can prevent large losses, which protects your balance sheet. And right. A lot of my clients say, you know what, this just allows me to sleep at night because I don't have to worry about getting paid.
Mm-hmm. And I guess ultimately, it never costs you anything to make that initial call and just inquire about what the insurance can do for you and how it can actually help you grow your businesses, right? So it doesn't hurt to make that call.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's something that that people really don't know unless they've experienced, you know, a real quote for the product.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, businesses aren't likely to consider exporting ultimately if the payback isn't going to cover that initial investment, the cost of the time and the money to investigate the opportunity. And once shipping a product begins, even more money is going to be on the line. So how do you actually frame that cost to your clients so they understand what their risk is? Because it's not just that invoice that you send out, it's all that time you've spent prior to that that has cost you money. How do you frame overall what protecting that risk cost is?
Well, there's a number of different costs involved in protecting it, but you know, number one is the amount of premium that you have to pay for this policy, and then actually deciding on whether the coverage you know, provides you with value to grow your business, you know, outside of Canada. So, you know. There are many ways to go about looking at what the risk is, but if for the most part, it's very cost effective to transfer risk to an insurer rather than take it on yourself, especially when you don't know all of the intimate details of the clients that you're shipping to because of the distance that they are from your operation.
Mm-hmm. And as you said before, the insurer is always talking to all of their insured and they're sharing information about particular customers that are out there. So you are going to get a notice based on how everybody is experiencing that customer, whether or not there is a problem there, right?
So you
get
absolutely.
All that insight. Yeah. Yeah.
And you can never get that yourself.
No. Yeah, there's no way to do that. Even if you called them every day, you wouldn't know what the landscape really looked like.
Right.
So can you share some final key takeaways or stories that can help people understand the whole value here for protecting your assets when you export?
Well, a credit insurance policies has, like I say, has many different value adds that come to mind. One is protecting you against a large loss or caused by the bankruptcy of a customer or their inability to just pay. You can also, for the most part for exporters, add to your margining capability the export receivables, which are usually excluded by the banks if you don't have receivables insurance. So you actually have more money that you can use to help invest in your business and grow your business. And then the knowledge that you get, as we've discussed in the past, about all of the clients is something that you can't accumulate from anywhere else. So making sure that your clients are safe to ship to, and knowing that you'll probably get paid by either that customer or the insurer, is a value that you can take home every night. Like I say, it's like sleep at night insurance.
Mm-hmm. I just want to touch on some just final numbers. So basically, if you have to make a claim, these are general numbers, you'll get back 90% of your invoice value.
Up to 90%. It really depends on how the policy is set up. It could have a deductible on the policy as well as the 10% co-insurance. So it really depends on each policy how much you would get back.
Right. Okay. And then the actual cost of having this insurance, like I've heard all kinds of different percentages, what it actually costs you overall. Do you have a percentage on that?
For a company who is insuring probably more than $5 million in sales,
mm-hmm.
the rates sort of average between 0.25% of sales and 0.75% of sales, with the higher percentage for the lower amount of sales. A lot of people think that it's, you know, 1 or 2%, but mm-hmm. that's not the case.
Mm-hmm. Mark, thank you for sharing some stories. You particularly scared me with the cyber risk one. that's a fascinating story, but really great insights on helping people get ideas on how they can move forward if they decide they want to do some exporting, which is basically we're an exporting country. So Canadian businesses need to understand all the ins and outs of how it works. So thank you very much.
It's been my pleasure.
Mark Hall is with Dan Lowry Insurance. He is an associate broker and a credit insurance specialist there. Trade Securely podcast is brought to you by the Receivables Insurance Association of Canada, whose member brokers and insurers are helping Canadian businesses succeed and grow by enabling them to trade securely at home and abroad. And that is our show for this month. For more information to help you grow your business, check out our Twitter and LinkedIn feeds and subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and colleagues through iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or download the Trade Securely podcast streaming app. Until next time, I'm Janet Eastman. Thanks for listening to the Trade Securely podcast.
The Trade Securely podcast is brought to you by the Receivables Insurance Association of Canada, whose member companies help Canadian businesses succeed and grow securely.